of the mitzvah here of the din, which is how to get your money back. So you lent the money, and now you want to get the money back. So there's two parts to the shir. One is how much pressure is the malva allowed to put on the loyva. What is the zuchus that the malva, the lender, has on the borrower to get back the money? He could force him, he could pressure him. What's he allowed to do? And then we're going to learn a little bit what's the chiyuv of the loyva to pay. Because we can't just be protecting, we're not just going to be protecting the loyva, we got to protect the malva also. We're not in New York City over here. So we have to also figure out how to protect the malva. So let's start with this Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia talks about a pasuk in this week's parasha. We just learned the pasuk. The pasuk we've been talking about. In Kesef Tal Vesami, Es Ha'ani Imach. What's the next words? Anyone remember the pasuk? Loi Siya Loi Kenoyshe. Do not be a noyshe on him. Don't be a person that's pressuring, being a noyshe on him, grabbing him. So what is the lav of Loi Siya Loi Kenoyshe? What is that all about? So, Ki Aser Avdimi Amar. Minayin L'noyshe B'chaver Imane. Someone owes you. You see where it is with the little line on the side. You know he doesn't have the money. Even you're not even allowed to pass in front of him. That you, yet, like to miram is and pressure him. Like, hey, remember me? You don't owe me. You owe me money, but you know he can't pay.
Don't pour salt on those ones.
Right. Talmud Lomar. So the Gemara learns out from here that there's an isser of pressuring someone, but the Gemara says that talking about a guy who doesn't have money. It's very clear that the lav is pressuring someone if you don't have money. Now this could be a nice thing. It's a nice thing, loisiyo l'kenosha. The Rambam is moina this lav of loisiyo l'kenosha as one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. And this is a separate mitzvah in the Torah. You're not allowed to pressure someone if they have no money. Look in the Rambam, in the next page.
Yeah, why would someone lend them
someone
money?
What? Oh, very good. Well, let's go one step at a time. Very good. It says, Kol ha-noyges ha-ani. Anyone that pressures an ani. But look at the next verse. You know he has no money. Ma-yachzer, to give you back. Oiver b'leisase, he's oiver alav. Shemem loy siya loy kenoisha. You're not allowed to be a put pressure on him. How would you translate noisha? Whatever, put pressure on him. Umitzas asei linigus esaakum. If you want to go money, you should do it. No problem. No halacha gimel. Asal adam leher aris lehar ois atzma lebal choyvoy bizman sheyedea sheein loy afilu laver lefanov shali afchidoy o yachlimoy ava bishein otoyvoy vein tzarch lemar im toyvoy. Okay? So, he's saying, if you know the guy has no money, then don't pressure him, and don't even pass by him. And now, Rosh Hashanah says, so now, hold on, so we're trying to protect the loiva from being embarrassed because you're passing by him. So now the malva says, I lent this guy money. Now he can't pay me back. I get it, so I don't pressure him. Now I have to switch rules because now every time I pass by him, I have to be worried that he's thinking. So what does that mean? So why are we more worried about his tircha than my tircha? I also don't want to switch rules now because, maybe he should leave. I mean, if he doesn't like that, I'm here. Right, so the Ohr Hashulchan says that if you don't have kavana on it, then it's mutter. I think the pshat is because if you don't have kavana on it, he knows you don't have kavana on it. If you do have kavana on it, then you'll know that you have kavana. You can't hide these things. A person has kavana. Pshat is this guy. Everything he does bothers me. Every time he walks in with a new tie. Why is he spending money on that tie? He should be paying me back. Everything about this guy is bothering me, right? And I'm holding it over him that he owes me money. Even if I never said a word, he knows what I think. You can't hide this stuff. So, Dr. Ochoshon, if you talk I have no kavana, then it's mutter. But actually, you have no kavana. Then you'll know that you have no kavana. The Ochoshon, the place can want to say that if you're going to be in that situation, that he has no money to pay, and you lent him money, and you're worried about this Indian, then you should go over to him l'chatchila and say, I know you have no money. When you get money, you pay me right now. Don't worry about it. I'm not being moichel l'choyv, but don't worry about it. You have no money. I'm fine. And don't think twice until your matzah gets better. If you speak that out, then when you're passing him by, he's not going to feel a lachatz because you've already spoken it out. So that's what the Poskim say is a good answer to avoid this laugh. Now, what about Rafi's question, which is, so now I can't even ask the guy back for the money? So we're talking about, clearly, that when you lent it to him, he had the money to pay. And the Poskim say, if when you lent it to him,
so
he
what
didn't...
what happens in the case he's, person's an ani, and then you're lending an ani?
One second, if a guy comes to you, and he has no plan, or no concept, or no idea how he's going to pay, you say, you know, so what does he say? When my, what's the classic line? When my tax refund comes back, right? I just put my taxes in. When my tax refund comes back, I'll pay you. Now that tax refund is leveraged 16 times over already. It was spent, it was spent like, 3 years ago already. When he borrowed up in 2026, he borrowed up the 2029, tax refund he's going to make. So, you have to be realistic when you're lending money. The Chafetz Chaim and others say, if Lamaisa, you know that can't pay you back, but you're not going to be a Chafetz Chaim, and Lamaisa, when you lend the money, you know you can't really pay you back, and you're not going to be a Chafetz Chaim, and you're going to pressure the guy, better not to lend him the money. Better not to lend him the money, and then be over the lava, let's see, like a Naisha. Either give him what you can afford, say, I can't lend you money, but I can give you part of that as a stock up, or, but now, Lamaisa, a guy that borrows money with no intention of how to pay back, is doing an isser. He's not allowed to do that. So the case of Kutchum writes that therefore you have the right to assume that he still has the money. Because there's a good child here. What happens if it's a suffix? I don't know if he has the money or not. What do I know? I know if he has or doesn't. Am I allowed to go and text him and say, where's the loan? And then he doesn't answer me. The next day, I write to text him, where's the loan? Right? Now, it's a suffix if he has the money. So Menchas Chinuch says, suffix deraisa l'chumra. On its side, he doesn't have the money. You're over the lava l'siya l'kenoisha. So maybe on suffix deraisa l'chumra, you shouldn't be allowed to pressure. The Kesef Kutchim writes, one second, but if he borrowed the money with no plan about how to pay, he was a rasha. So I'm allowed to assume he understood how to pay, and I'm allowed to assume, therefore, he still has the money. So unless I know bevada he doesn't have the money, the lav doesn't apply. It has to be that the lav only applies when you know he has the money. If it's a suffix, right? Does that answer anything of your question, or not really? What's your issue? What's your question?
I'm saying you don't know what he has and what he doesn't have.
Right. But when he came to you originally, what did you think? He has. He just his employer. I just put in extra hours. I've put in this amount of work. The money is coming in. I just need to front the money against my paycheck. I don't know if that story makes sense. Whatever. There's certain things that make sense why he would be borrowing money and he has a way to pay it back. Right. I mean, it's hard to understand a little bit how someone's going to borrow money and then pay it back. Because if he's that desperate to borrow, what's his plan exactly? I'm getting a new job in 2 weeks. I mean, there's ways that it makes sense. I'm in the summer, I'm between jobs, but I'm starting my new job in February. There is svara.
I think what he's getting to is that obviously if someone's an onion and someone fell on hard times, then you're rubbing salt in the wound. But if someone that you suspect is really just playing the game, why shouldn't you go back to him and say this,
100%. I'm asking
so
for that.
So is that not a love?
No, that's not a love, because you can assume he has the money.
Even though possibly he doesn't.
Right, so that's the shayla.
Based on your assumption.
It's suffix deraisa l'chumra.
If he's schlepping, then obviously there's a reason why he's schlepping, so then...
Or he's using it for other investments.
Well, people schlep because they schlep. It doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have the money.
Does the same halacha apply to creditor?
What?
Does the same halacha apply to creditor? Creditor. Business creditor. Money from supplies.
No,
supplies?
No. That's a good point.
No, but if you allow the pressure.
No, because it's only a free loan. If a guy bought merchandise from you, and his terms are 90, and he's out 120, and he still hasn't paid,
The homes are not making money.
Huh?
The homes are not making money.
You said homes. I didn't say homes.
But they're on the
Gotham. Who's? Doesn't make a difference.
Huh?
You love pressure,
no? They don't pay anyways. The pressure that they get tomorrow.
No, but in business, he's Tom taking advantage. Because he knows that the little guy needs this account and take my terms. That's it. I'm out, you know. So it's a little bit he's taking advantage, you know. There used to be in Ribbis to talk about is, you know, 210 net 30. Whatever, I was all laughing. I gave that to net 30. Who pays 30? Who pays 30 days out? You know, it doesn't exist. But
we spoke about this here.
What?
At ECAP, actually, they actually came down very hard.
Yeah.
They spoke about how people are abusing the vendors and you can't do this.
Right. A guy is trying.
They don't care.
They actually came down very hard this year. They said this whole system has to stop, makes it turn around.
No, there's too many people. All the big guys are.
They're buying more homes and they're
taking their mansions. Yeah. Al Kapanim, the law doesn't apply L'chayr in a business. That's a good child. We didn't discuss that child directly. But L'chayr, it doesn't apply over there. The same way the Chafetz Chaim said that there's no mitzvah deraisa to lend on credit. You're not mechuyev to sell on credit. Okay? But that's an interesting shaila. What happens? Okay. Now, L'maisa, there's an unbelievable... I just want to show you how this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like a Musa Shmuz. Be a nice guy, listen, it's not a Musa Shmuz, there's a lot in the Torah to do this, it's unbelievable, like, this Hergish, it sounds like, you know he borrowed, don't make him feel bad, it sounds like, you know, like what we talked about in, like, in school, like, oh, don't make the kid feel bad, whatever, no, there's a lot in the Torah, it's brought down the Shulchan Aruch, and the next page, Simon Tzadi Zion, Siv Gimel, Siv Beis, Osir lingoyis es haloi v'lifroya. But again, same lashon. Kishe yodeya she'en loy. If you know he doesn't have. Vafilu laharois loy, even to present yourself. Mipnei shu nichlam v'roisa, he feels bad. Ve'en yodoy maseges lifroya. He can't pay you. He just can't pay. Now just, by the way, just look at the Siv Gimel. Osir laloi v'lichvosh momen chaveiro v'loimar loy lech v'shoiv umochar etein v'yesh itoy. The loy also has responsibilities here. He can't do it. So before we get to that, I want to say Gevaldika Shaila, the Rosh has. A Tshuvas HaRosh, you would think this is mamash written today, this Tshuvas HaRosh, with bankruptcy laws and all sorts of stuff. It was unbelievable, this Tshuvas HaRosh I saw last night after we learned. Tshuvas HaRosh has the following Shaila. He says that somebody, let's give names, Reuben lent Shimon money. It seems like it was a lot of money. Reuben lent Shimon a lot of money. Shimon, now Reuven is the Malva. He sends the following Shiloh to the Rosh. He says, this guy Shimon supposedly gave away all of his money, all of his nechasim, even his wife's job, everything, he gave away to his shvager. So now everything's under the name of his brother-in-law. Ad kedei kach, he has no parnasa. So he moved into his shvager's house. And he's being supported 100% by his shvager. He has no money left whatsoever. Nothing. He gave everything away. So every time I call him up to pay the loan, I see him walking around every day. Every day is a new suit. And his wife's walking around with a new shetel. And this one is there. And every time I say, well, what is this? So my shvager doesn't want me to feel bad, so he gave me more stuff. So he transferred the ownership, right? He transferred the title of all of his nechasim to his mishpacha, to his kraven. Ad kedei kach, and he has no parnasa even. He has nothing under his name. You can look every bank and look, he has nothing under his name. Right? And this guy had hired a good bankruptcy lawyer, right? It's unbelievable. So he sent everything away to the shvager. The shvager supports him. And so when I ask him, hey, can you pay me? I have nothing left. I don't have anything. So then he says, he has two shilas to the Rosh. Number one is, it's obvious that the guy is just playing the game, like Zalmi said, because no normal person gives all their stuff and doesn't even keep b'chdechayev by himself. No one gives away all their stuff and doesn't even keep their basic needs, right? Obviously, if he did that, he's just doing it so he doesn't have to pay me back. So is that valid? Number one. Number two, then he says, so even, that's first child. But the second child is, so I tell him, okay, but when I lent you money, you had a job, you had a good business. But all of a sudden, you moved into your shvach's house, you closed down your business. Reopen the business, make money, and pay me back. So he says, no, I can't, I'm too depressed, I don't want to open my business anymore. He doesn't want to open his business, Reuven says to the Rosh, because he knows if he opens his business, he has to pay me the profit. He has to pay me. He doesn't want to work. Is the Malvit permitted to make the guy work so that he can pay him back? This is the Shaila. It's a two-tier Shaila. First Shaila is, this that he was Mavriach, this that he put threw away all the stuff to the Shvager, and oh, everything's under my brother-in-law's name, is that work? And number two, can the Malva make the Loiva work? And the Shoyal asked, he said, I have a Raya that if you owe someone money, you could force them to work. Why? Because when you sign a Ksuva to the wife, it says there, Vana Oiker ve'eflach ve'ezoin, and it says there clearly that she can demand that the husband work. It's funny, right after we finished learning, a guy came over to me and he says he has a neighbor, a whole story, and the wife came over to his wife, Shabbos, and started crying, whatever, that the guy's sitting on the couch all day, he doesn't want to work, they have no money, fine. So the wife is allowed to demand, what? The wife is allowed to demand that the husband go work. So he said, if the wife is allowed to demand that the husband work, why can't I demand that my lawyer go work? It should be the same thing. So, the Rosh says, Lagabe the first Shaila, you're 100% right. If the guy went ahead and put everything under his brother-in-law's name, but really, it doesn't make sense. He only did that for the purpose of not paying you back. You're allowed to demand that stuff goes to you. You're allowed to be Teveit from him, even Metaltalon.
Right. All the stuff that used to be his
and that he gave to his brother-in-law.
It's what we call an English like fraudulent conveyance. If you convey something fraudulently for ill intent, take it all back.
Right. So even though the bankruptcy attorney told him, just put everything under your brother-in-law's name, this stuff happened 1,000 years ago. That's what I'm saying. It's geschmack. This stuff is not new. So he says to him, that is a good taina. That if the guy fraudulently went ahead and marked everything under the brother-in-law's name, you could go be goy for that stuff. But your second taina, that you think that you have a right to make the guy go work, no, you don't. Why? Because he says that the Gemara says, in this week's parasha, ki sikna eved ivri. What's an eved ivri? The Gemara says, b'nimkar b'gnevasoi. Because he stole, he gets sold. Bezdin can only force someone to sell himself as an eved if he stole. But if he owes money as a halva, Bezdin cannot force him to sell himself as an eved. And hiring yourself out as an employee is the same thing as becoming an eved. So Memela state in the parasha, the nimkar b'gnevasoi v'loi b'halva asoi, and Memela, you cannot force the guy to work. Unbelievable. What?
Somebody goes bankrupt and can't pay his bills. Is Dina Shema and Medina Shema does he have to pay?
That's next week. That's next week's year. Is bankruptcy valid in halacha? In Kipshuta, it's not. Al Dina de Machusa. Right.
No,
even Bezdin. Can Bezdin enforce it? Right, because you know, is obviously besides for Shemitah, there's nothing that just makes loans disappear. So there's no chapter 11, chapter 8, whatever, 10 point, whatever. There's no bankruptcy in halacha, but the question is al tzdina de machus adina. Okay, but the fascinating tshuva from the Rosh. So forcing the guy to go work is actually loisiyah lekenosha. You're not allowed. That's not a taina that you have on him. The taina you have on him is if he has nechosim, so he has what to pay. He has what to pay. So it comes out, the whole lav is talking, he doesn't have what to pay. He said, Lamaisa, you go into the guy's house, okay, you have stuff. You have stuff. You're not allowed to go take his bed, you're not allowed to go take his food, his refrigerator, his basic stuff.
You can take his pictures.
Yeah, but you have stuff that you could pay me with. So obviously something he makes money with or basic living you can't take, but so that was a very fascinating thing because a lot of times a person will get frustrated when they see the guy, you owe me money, you're sitting at home all day doing nothing, go to the store, you know, and bag groceries, but make some money, pay me back, show me that you're making an effort. So the Rosh says you don't have a taina on that. Fascinating tshuva on the Rosh. Okay, now Now, the on the flip side, however, let's talk about the other way. Let's talk about the loiva for a second. The loiva has money. So what's his responsibility? So there's two reasons. I put these out of order a little bit. Let's go to the last page first. Gemara b'Mitzia. Gemara b'Mitzia, daf kuf yud alef amud alef. The Gemara talks, brings a pasuk. There's a lot of lavim in the Torah that have to do with stealing. There's a lav called loisigzol. There's a lav called loisashoik. Loisashoik is reyacha v'loisigzol. Loisashoik is also stealing. So what's the difference between loisashoik and loisigzol? Okay? So look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ezehu oishek ve'ezehu gezel. When are you over the lav of loisashoik? And when are you over the lav of loisigzol? Amar b'chizda. So b'chizda says, Leich v'shoiv, leich v'shoiv, zehu oishek. Oishek is when you have the money, you're not paying, and you tell the guy, I'm going to pay you.
Come back tomorrow.
Come back tomorrow. Leich v'shoiv, leich v'shoiv. Go back now, come back tomorrow. That's lav v'leisashek. So the time came to pay, and you're draining a cup, and he tells you, Lech v'shoiv, Lech v'shoiv. Now, that's a lav of loisashoik.
Just assuming that the guy doesn't have the money.
What?
Just assuming that the borrower does not have the money. If I come to the guy's house and...
No, maybe he's telling me he has the money.
So why am I over loisashoik? That's from there.
You mean the loiva has the money.
Right.
The loiva has the money and he's holding it.
Right.
And then, what's leisigzol is when you say, yesh lecha biyadi ve'eini noisen lach. I owe you the money, I have the money, and I'm not planning to pay. So that's flat out gezel. Gezel is when you're not playing the game. You just completely don't care. So gezel is yesh lecha biyadi ve'eini noisen lach. I'm not paying you. That's gezel. Oishik is, you're playing along. Okay, look, ping pong, let's go, come back tomorrow, I have the money, that whole game, that's oishik. Okay? So lemaisa, the loiva also has a lav. Obviously, if the loiva has the money and doesn't plan to pay, it's gezel. If he has the money and he's not paying when he's supposed to, it's a lav of loisashik. He's over a lav. Now, if you go to the Gemara before, that the Gemara... What? Well, it depends which one he's doing. Lech v'shoiv, every time he does that, he's over l'sashik.
And Gezel?
Not yet. If he plans to pay, b'daitoi. Hitaka thinks he's going to pay eventually. But he doesn't want to pay now. Why doesn't he want to pay now? Because with this money, I could pay him back. But with this money, I want to make another investment. Okay, but you can't go make an investment with his money. So even if you mask him to pay, but you're going to push him off, that's l'sashik.
It's also a corporate level. Companies that they don't pay...
It seems to be a very hot topic. You came in 5 minutes late. We discussed all the industries, which ones pay, which ones don't. What do you cover?
A corporate is considered a separate entity from the person, or is this kind of when the person is making decisions?
I don't know about that. Who's ever making the decision? You know. Now look at the Gemara and Peivav Amud Aleph and Ksubas. Unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says that Amalei Rav Kana Lididok Damer Prias Balchoiv Mitzvah. Prias Balchoiv, paying back a Balchoiv is a mitzvah. Omar, if he says Lo Nicha Lidi Avid Mitzvah, I don't want to do that mitzvah. My Amalei Tanina, that there's a din that you're allowed to be makeh someone to do a mitzvah sesei. So there's a mitzvah to pay back a choiv. Zok Drashi, which mitzvah? So actually, mitzvah alav lifroya chayvoy ula ames dvarav to be be'emes. The ksiv hein tzedek shehein shachat tzedek v'lav shachat tzedek. You have to say the truth, and therefore, since you have to say the truth, you have to pay back your chayv. So, a few questions. First of all, the Ramban says that lav is when you never planned on paying back. But this guy, maybe when he borrowed the money, he was planning on paying back, and now he doesn't want to pay back. So. Where is that necessarily muchach your over hein shel tzchat tzedek? Second question, the Ramban in Basra has a different makar, why there's a mitzvah. The real question is, Rabbi Chanan asks, why do you need a priest b'chol mitzvah? You're over leisashik. What are we talking about? The guy has the money, doesn't have the money. If he has the money, so then what's he telling the guy? He says, Lech v'shoiv, so he's over another lav. So what's this new thing? Oh, you know why you should pay back? Prius b'chayv mitzvah. So first of all, prius b'chayv mitzvah is, it's a mitzvah to pay back the minute it's due, even if he never asks you for it. Lech v'shoiv is maybe dafka when he asks you for it. He asks you for it and you push him off. Also, over here, so I don't know, Rabbi Chanan deals with this question, why is it not allowed? What's the extra chiddush of Priyas Baal Chayiv Mitzvah? But you see from Rashi that there's an extra chiddush of Priyas Baal Chayiv Mitzvah that the loive has to pay back the loan.
Why not comfortable saying that Hashem gave an esar to make it stronger,
and that's an loive? There's an extra chiddush. No, I'm saying because what's the essay saying that it's not partial already that you have to?
Hashem wants you to pay back once you give an
essay. You're saying besides that you're also over. Avada, you're over loy sasha.
Something is an essay and a loy sasha. Yeah, much
stronger. Right. Avada, you're over loy sasha.
They don't
want to go with that. Maybe that's a partial shot. Avada, you're over loy sasha. But besides that, there's also an essay that you have to pay back. But also you have to pay back on time, right when it's due. There's a mitzvah to pay back. And Reb Chaim Soloveitchik Tainas says, don't get carried away because maybe someone will say, okay, if it's only a mitzvah essay, so I stick the mitzvah potam in a mitzvah. So I'll make sure that I'm, you know, davening all day and okay, I'm potam for the mitzvah. It's not that type of mitzvah. You have someone's money, you gotta pay back. So Akoponim, Hagam, that we're busy protecting the loive, right? When he doesn't have, so on the one hand, you see the Torah is like very delicate over here. If the loive doesn't have the money, then the malve has to be sensitive to the loive, assuming that he had the money originally. If he didn't have the money when he borrowed, then he's taka didn't do the right thing. Loive rasha b'lei shalem. But if the loive borrowed in with good. With good intentions, now something happens, so it's on the malva to be sensitive to that. But if the loiva borrowed and now he's playing the game and he has the money, then it's on the loiva. Then we put a lav on him, we put an essay on him. There's a mitzvah essay to pay back the over a lav loy sashik. So it goes both ways. This idea. That you have to be mamish, like right in the middle of understanding that there's a mitzvah to lend. There's also an achrayus to pay back. There's no mitzvah to lend and just don't lose your money. But if he's in good faith and he's planning on paying you back, but he doesn't have the money now, then don't pressure. So it's very geschmack how the Torah like puts it that there's a perfect balance between the loiv and the malva. They both take achrayus over here in terms of how to pay back the loan. What else is Rav Chanan? I feel like he said something else over there, another svar, but okay. Fine. I think that basically.
I think it also fits into your drasha from last week about you start this.
Right. You have to know that there's a din, but there's also chesed in the din. There's a chesed in the din as well, exactly. Now, just one other thing is that I'm going to leave with a question. A lot of times when people lend money, they want an arev. They want an arev, and there's two types of arevs. There's actually three types of arevs. Let's talk about two types of arev. There's a type of an arev that the arev comes second. First, the malva goes to the loive for a while. He tries to get the money from the loive. Eventually, if he doesn't get money from the loive, he goes to the arev, the guarantor. There's another type of arev, which is called an arev kablan, where it's more like a co-borrower, where the arev takes equal responsibility to the loan, and you could be teveya the loan from the arev even before you go to the loive, theoretically.
Called
a co-signer, co-borrower. It's not a guarantor. It's a different type of arrangement. Which is, again, hilchos ribis, whatever, fine. But right now, let's say a person is an arev kablan. Why would you be an arev kablan? What? Because really, you're willing to lend him the money, basically. So why aren't you lending the money? Because you don't have the cash right now. But basically, I want you to get the money. I'll facilitate you getting a loan from him. And if it comes that you can't pay him, then I'll pay it back. So essentially, you're the loiva. Let's get realistic, right? The Arv Kavlan is basically the loiva.
He's just using the real lender's money for his money to be the loiva.
Right. So now the malva is going to get back his money from the Arev, and the Arev is going to be on the hook to get back the money from the loiva, right? So my shaila is, which I did not see anyone deal with, Mamash, no one talks about this, is do you fulfill the mitzvah of lending money of Imkesef Talves Ami by being an Arev Kavlan? Because essentially you lent him the money. Right? You definitely are doing a mitzvah of chesed, but are you doing the mitzvah of halva? And it's a menaf kamina, because if I'm just doing a chesed, then you know what? I'll go visit someone in the hospital. It's a much easier chesed for me to do than to do this, right? But if I'm doing the mitzvah of halva, because I'm partially, really the money that's coming from the lender is really coming from me, basically. Because at the end of the day, I'm on the hook for it. So am I doing the mitzvah of halva by doing this, or am I only doing the mitzvah of chesed by doing it? And it's a big nafkumino, like, Abbe, what am I doing? And anybody discuss this question? L'chaira, once you pay, at that point, for sure, it's halva. Once the Arif pays, then he's for sure doing halva to the loiva. But the question is, even before that, by enabling the loan and really being on the hook for the loan, that the malva could really come and get him right away,
does he get
schar for the mitzvah? Is it what's the level of mitzvah to do this? Am I mechuyev to be an arid?
You for sure get schar for helping his parent get the loan.
It's definitely the chazak to boy. You're helping him. You're doing chesed. But I want to know, is it the mitzvah of lending? If it's not the mitzvah of lending, maybe I don't want to do it. Mitzvah of lending, I read the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim talks about how great the mitzvah of lending is. Okay, you know what? This is a good way for me to do the mitzvah of lending. I'll be an arid. But stamazai, otherwise maybe I don't want to. I don't want to be an Arif otherwise. So I didn't see a good answer to this. What the element thinks is you're not Mekayman? Well, in Hilchas Ribbis, you're a lender. Let's say there's a Goyish Malva to a Yiddish Loiva. They're allowed to charge interest. But the co-borrower is also Jewish. It's Aser. Why? Because it's considered that the money is coming from the co-borrower. Because he's the one that he's on the hook for the money. So halachically, you're not allowed to be a co-borrower to a yid on a loan from a bank. You have to have a hateriska between the two.
But that's only if he's not paying, or not even if he pays.
Right? So I'm saying we look at the loive, at the Arif Kabbalah, a little bit like the malva. So I want to know, look up the mitzvah, is it Mekayim mitzvah? Okay. And it's a shame next week we'll talk about what Shmaya brought up about bankruptcy. Okay?